Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Text Message, the UK-focused technology podcast, with me, Nate Langson.
Transatlantic Nate Langson. And me, Ian Morris.
Not transatlantic Ian Morris. No. Yes, that's
you
true.
Want to explain?
I'm in the United States of the USA America at the moment, specifically on Park Avenue in a hotel. I'm out here filming again for another couple of weeks, and I've built what I can only describe as a professional pillow fort in my hotel room to record inside. It's quite
now,
good.
Now, I've seen the photo of it, listeners, and I will tell you, it isn't professional. It is, I would describe it as makeshift.
I would admit that if you go into, say, the Radio 4 studio, let's say for the Today Show, they have a different setup in there.
They do.
And I've been
There's
in there.
There's very few pillows.
And exactly. There are very few pillows in that studio. Also, very few pillows in any recording studio that I've ever been in. But in a hotel room, I have to say, I think this is rather jolly. I can hear the cleaning staff of this hotel outside my door, but I have put on the do not disturb notice. So they think...
Well, and of course, it's prime cleaning time for you right now, isn't it?
It's early morning. Yeah. They probably think I'm doing something quite sensual in here, you know, with a guest. But little do they know that I'm just podcasting with a hairy man in Britain.
Through the...
Yes. Right. Let's start with some news, shall we? So you might be wondering if we're going to talk about the UK's competition regulator blocking Microsoft's Activision deal, but we're not. Partly because everyone's talked about it, including me on DTNS earlier in the week. But do you really want to hear me and Ian talk about mergers and acquisitions? I mean, I do that all week at Bloomberg, so if you do, then that's probably a good place to go. But we're not going to do that today.
I mean, the only thing was just how angry it made me that people reacted to it in the way they did, failing to understand literally anything about what the CMA does. Anyway, so on with the show.
Well, Ian's due an extra message next week, so who knows? Maybe that will become his extra message. But for the time being, we are going to talk about fun stuff on the show, specifically about phones making noises. More specifically, about why so many people last week didn't have a phone that made an emergency noise. The BBC wrote that last Sunday's emergency alert didn't reach an estimated 7% of compatible devices in the United Kingdom, according to the government. Notably poor in its performance was Network 3, with officials saying they're working with the network to figure out why so many of its customers didn't get the alert test. Overall, the 7% of compatible devices that didn't get the alert included those that were turned off, which I would say fair dues, on aeroplane mode, also kind of fair dues, or those who had opted out. Also, I think, fair dues. Now, I did some digging on this one because it's easy to joke about three, and indeed we've done so for many years successfully. But there's got to be some reason, I think, why it was singled out for being crap in this scenario. So I turned to good old ISP review or IS preview or ISPR eView. It collected some comments on the on this.
We're going to be here for a while if you're going to just do every single possible permutation of capitals. And anyway, go on, carry on.
Yeah. They had a spokesperson for Three saying, "We're aware that a number of customers had not received the test alert. We're working closely with the government to understand why and ensure it doesn't happen when the system is in use." There was some suggestion that the problem was actually to do with the need for networks to keep rebroadcasting the alert over and over again for a period of time, about 20 minutes, to make sure that people did receive it, I think, if they were temporarily out of signal. But that mechanism apparently didn't work deep inside Three's core. Three spokesbod later said, following the emergency alerts test yesterday, We've been working with the government and have identified a technical issue that meant some of our customers didn't receive the alert. This morning, our engineers deployed a fix, meaning there will be no such issue with future alerts. There are no plans to run the test again, but Sunday's activity means an issue was identified, and in real emergency, we can make sure everyone across the country gets an alert. So in a way, I suppose this is a good thing. There was a test. The test revealed a problem, the problem was fixed, but of all the outcomes I expected, like people moaning about how loud their phone was or whether the government was trying to spy on them some more or something, I didn't actually expect the most notable result to be that one of the biggest networks in the country couldn't even deliver the alert in the first place. Ian, was this the outcome that you expected?
Well, I mean, I didn't expect it to be quite as flawed as it ended up being. I genuinely thought it would be quite successful, and that's because we're not the first country in the world to implement something like this. The technology clearly exists elsewhere. I doubt it. We've invented an entirely new set of hardware to manage it. so I was pretty surprised that it didn't go quite as well. I thought some of the explanations online were quite interesting about how Three had managed it. Essentially, the alert was O2, which I'm on now. That would have been that alert would have been broadcast for something like 20 minutes. But there was also, and Three only did it once, but also there was some sort of, you have to tell the phone to expect these updates, apparently. And that's another dynamic that wasn't taken into account from what I can see from people who were talking about it. So it was a bit of a shambles from Three's perspective. I can't say I was massively surprised. I know we do take the mickey out of Three quite a bit, but I think that's because they deserve it. They have one of the most ridiculous networks in the UK, as far as I'm concerned. So it wasn't the total win I think the government were hoping for, and certainly it did generate quite a few memes and people joking about it, which I think is the last thing they wanted.
I actually haven't seen any memes about the alert. Oh, did I see one? No, I did. I saw a Peep Show related meme.
Yeah, there was lots of stuff about, you know, people being put out by the fact that they would be dead in an emergency. It was the sort of thing that I think, given the trials and tribulations that this government has had recently with technological things, be that the test and trace program that didn't work particularly well, that whole fiasco about the COVID tracking app that didn't really work, did it? And they had to revert to the built-in Apple and Google system. All those things, you know, make it seem like our government's a bit of a clown. And now we're obviously not going to talk about CMA now, but, you know, from the perspective of people around the world, that also has been interpreted as being people who are out of touch with modern ways. Now, I don't agree with that in that case, but, you know, there is certainly an ongoing sort of feeling, I think, that the UK is maybe hopeless and we should drill a hole in the middle of it and just sink the thing.
It's funny, you mentioned the COVID alert system. I actually remember reading earlier this week that people have been... Yeah, they've been getting pings from the app saying that it's being shut down.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's something we should have talked about. I mean,
well, let me open that, it now. It says,
is that the end? Is that truly the end of a pandemic when a government shuts down its emergency tracing alert system?
I haven't got it installed anyway. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that was a single purpose app, but actually, I do wonder if maybe it's the sort of thing that should be built into the NHS app, so, and people encouraged to have it, so that in the future, if a similar thing happens, or if there's a need to let people know about local issues, you know, like an outbreak of something in their area, maybe that would have been a way to do it, you know, to build that functionality into the app, and then it's there for next time if you need it. But yeah, I don't know. I have a feeling if we had another pandemic, there would be a lot of different things would happen just purely because of the backlash of the last one. Not that I think, you know, necessarily anything was done wrong. I think you could debate this up and down, but I'm certainly not against the idea of, you know, locking people down and all that kind of stuff if it helps public health. Anyway, an irrelevance. But yes, it's dead. I've seen people sending messages of its demise.
Yeah. Luna and John in our live chat saying they had notifications that it's dead and saying uninstall it. I mean, I uninstalled mine quite some time ago, so I never got one. John posted a screenshot as well saying your iPhone will no longer log nearby devices and you won't be notified of possible exposures. And weirdly, I remember when I was in the US a few weeks ago on the West Coast, I was actually prompted to opt in to contact tracing at the time. Didn't need an app, just popped up on my phone. Would you like to opt in? I can't remember. I'm pretty sure I said no. But I do remember seeing the alert. China killed its contact tracing pinging app thing towards the end of last year. So we kept ours around a little bit longer, which is quite weird because China was much later in unlocking its economy and its population than, well, basically any other country in the world, which is...
Well, their thing was like zero COVID, wasn't it? And once that was blown, there wasn't any point, you know, pretending that that was going to work. So
No. I saw some research in this in a BBC story that the app prevented about 1 million COVID cases and 10,000 deaths. That's from Nature, that study. That's not from the government.
Interesting.
It's a public,
I did get some pings. I had some weird ones. I was pung. I got one that was like, it had obviously, someone had obviously got COVID, but they'd got their test back so late that my thing told me to stay indoors, but it was for like 3 hours. So there'd obviously been some sort of when was your COVID, and it had taken its time to get round the system or something. And so by the time I actually got the notification, my time needing to isolate was over. But also I hadn't been isolating because it hadn't told me I needed to.
Were you on three at the time?
Yes, I would have been, yeah.
Well, I think it used Bluetooth, so probably wasn't three's fault.
The timings of it, I guess, if you know, it may be something to do with how the testing was entered. You know, when you get a result, you enter in a certain thing, and there might have been some eccentricities with that. But anyway.
Well, if you are mourning the death of being pung by the COVID alert system, or if you haven't been pung by the government's test because you are on three or on a better network that failed for a different reason, let us know any feedback you have on this. hello@uktechshow.com.
Well, we may not be officially talking about that Microsoft Activision deal, but the CMA, which was the agency responsible, will get a mention, and it will get that mention now because it is the overseeing group that will end fake reviews and subscription traps online. The BBC reports that the new group, which will be called the Digital Markets Unit, will be charged with battling fake reviews and so-called subscription traps, where free trials turn into paid subs without warning. I believe there's also a desire to make it easier to cancel a subscription you signed up for online and don't wish to make phone calls or write letters or attach it to the side of a pig and send it in the direction of the company. The penalties, and this will shock you to your core, are 10% of global revenue, which for tech giants Apple and Amazon is a Scrooge McDuck vault of coins in its enormity. Of course, the problems aren't entirely within the control of those companies. The practicalities of enforcing it are going to be a challenge because, tech firms, they're not entirely responsible for the reviews that end up on their platform. Now, they will be encouraged to spend a bit more time and money hunting down those fake reviews, no doubt, to avoid the fines. But the people responsible for them are likely in countries like China, where sort of review farms operate. And enforcement there is going to be a challenge. You know, you're not going to be able to nip it at its bud. You're going to have to sort of reactively remove stuff from the platforms. So companies will need to be vigilant and get their ban hammer out, and I have absolutely no confidence Amazon will manage that, because I, a normal man, an innocent man, am still banned from reviewing banned from reviewing things on Amazon because of I don't know what reason, but there are still plenty of fake reviews on the site, including, has emerged this week, some AI reviews which feature language from an AI, because it says something like, as a large language model, I'm well able to review this product for you. And if you do a Google search, you can find those things on Amazon's site. So people are, for whatever reason, just getting Amazon ChatGPT to review things for them and then splashing that in the review box. And I mentioned last week, didn't I, that the product I bought, this AV, you know, monitor KVM switch thing, that all the reviews on that were paid reviews by Amazon's Vine program. And I find those no more useful than a fake review, frankly. So anyway, Nate, what are your thoughts? They're always welcomed and encouraged.
Yeah, well, you've touched on sort of what I was going to ask, which is, you know, how the hell do you define a fake review? Because like you said, I don't consider a review where you've had a free product or you've been paid to write something to be a review. It's an ad.
No. Yes.
Masquerading as a review, like some rather bizarre corporate Halloween party. So I don't really get that distinction. I do think that fake reviews are a massive problem and have been for quite some time, but they're so numerous. I don't know how you can possibly enforce this. And I don't know, because there's no recourse, is there? Like, if you find one, you complain to the site. They don't necessarily know who left it in the first place. And it's also very easy. And for a lot of companies whose products are relatively low value, it's almost in their interest to just send products so that people can post reviews as verified purchases. I mean, we're talking about Amazon here specifically, but this would be true for many places. That's not a fake review in the sense that it's just been made up. It is technically a real review, but it's complete bollocks. And and policing that is going to be an absolute nightmare.
A nightmare.
The separate issue that on subscription traps, I think, will be much easier to enforce. And this is something that I've run into far more frequently. And for some reason, newspaper websites and magazine websites are really bad at this, where you can sign up online, but if you want to cancel, you know, the only way you can do it is by navigating to a hidden cancel page and they just give you a phone number, or worse, please talk to our chatbot to do this. No, I will not talk to your chatbot. You let me sign up online, you let me cancel online, you silly person.
Well, can I ask you a question? Because, I mean, so if you just cancel the direct debit or whatever it is, or the payment, presumably they somehow consider that to be some breach of contract and then come after you for the remaining money.
I don't know how it works if you have like a rolling subscription. If it's one of these things that's just cancel any time, then I don't think that's a problem. If you're tied into a minimum period, that would definitely be more problematic. But for a lot of these services, they are rolling contracts. They're, you know, weekly, monthly or something, and there is no contract. And that is a very easy way to get people to sign up. And if you aren't providing an easy way to opt out or to cancel, that's where the CMA is taking issue. And I totally agree with that. I mean, I totally agree with the fake reviews. It's just that one is going to be a hell of a lot easier to police than the others. This is really easy. Like, if you sign up online, you have to make it possible to cancel online. So fairly good. I think that's a good move.
I ran into it recently with Sky, didn't I? Because, well, I say I ran into it. I didn't sign up online, but it was Sky Q, you know, given to me some time ago by Sky to review. Then they said, well, we're going to start charging you for it because your period is over. And I was like, okay, fine. Well, I'll cancel it then. But the only way to cancel it was to call them or provide a load of personal information in an email, which I just wasn't going to do.
Can you talk about that? Because that latter point was really shocking. Really shocking.
Yeah.
Like, they asked you to email your password to them, right?
Yeah. Which actually I didn't know. So I wouldn't have been able to do it anyway. Because what it was, I didn't realize this at the time. There is a password that they ask that you set up with them that is just for account modification. So it's not what you use to log into the site. but there is another password that you are presumably have expected to set up. Now, I have never called Sky in all the time that I had that service, so I probably never set one up in the first place. And it was also years ago. So the fact that I didn't have one, they may have changed the rules, et cetera, et cetera. So I didn't know the password. But yeah, the idea of asking you to send information like that via email left me cold. And I was like, absolutely not, I'm not doing it. Like, even if it was perfectly okay to do it, my rule is always never, ever send any sort of password in an email. It's just stupid. And sooner or later, you'll catch yourself out doing something stupid. So just don't do it at all. So yes, that was ridiculous. And in the end, I called them, and it was a very quick process. It was fine. But when you're in a sort of service like that, the worry is, isn't it, that you're going to end up in a 35-minute conversation with them about what they can offer you and how they could reduce the prices. And the ultimately, what you want to do is, you've made up your mind by that point, you just want to cancel it. Don't want to have a conversation with you. That's why getting a text message to switch mobile networks was such a good idea, because that call was always the worst call, wasn't it? It was like, right, I'd like to cancel, please. And then there'd be, a half hour of negotiating just for you to get your pack. And it was just not on. So, yeah.
I actually had this problem recently. I was moving my mum from Vodafone to EE, and I was on the phone for about 35 minutes. Just because I'd ordered the SIM as an extra SIM from my account, and for some reason it had used my home address as a delivery address, not her address, which is what I'd submitted. And it is damn near impossible to just find your order is in progress and just change the delivery address. It was just impossible, and I couldn't get through to somebody.
Well, they
until
might.
I had to use their little chatbot thing, and then I called, and then the chatbot hangs up the phone and sends you a text, and you click on the text in order to initiate another phone call. And it was I could tell the thinking behind it was, well, this will make it simpler. It doesn't. It just massively increases how annoyed I am. And I could feel I think I tweeted something to the extent of, I can feel myself burning calories from eye rolls and sighing alone, trying to deal with this system.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just the older I get, the less tolerant I am.
Of a SIM, why they wouldn't want you to be able to send it anywhere else, right? I mean, that does make sense from a security perspective, because that's how SIM jacking works, isn't it?
Well, yes, except that it let me type in the address when I ordered it. I just wanted to change the delivery address before they shipped it off and packaged it. I wasn't changing the account address or anything, just literally where they're sending
the SIM. But even so, if you could divert that SIM, there's an opportunity for a hacky person to, then put that SIM in their phone and activate it, and you get all your SMS two-factor alerts.
Mm.
Which is the way those things work. I don't think it's so common in the UK, but it does seem to be something that affects the Americans quite badly.
I know Tom Merritt, friend of the show, did a good episode of his Know a Little More about SIM swapping, SIM jacking, quite recently. It's well worth a listen, how that works. Yeah, but the thing is, this was a brand new SIM card, so it wouldn't have made any difference for things like that. Anyway, this is all a roundabout way of us saying that policing fake reviews is going to be a very, very hard fight to win, whereas telling people that if you allow a customer to sign up for something online, you should make it possible for them to cancel it online. And I wholeheartedly support it, as it seems does Ian. So, if you have thoughts on this, by all means, send us a message. Tell us, what would you like to cancel in this brave new world of easy-to-cancel subscriptions? hello@uktechshow.com. I just want to say thank you.
You're welcome, mate.
Yeah. But I'm going to extend it to more than just Ian. I'm going to talk about
patrons. I thought you were going to be very dismissive of me there and go, no, not you.
I'm very grateful to you, mate. Very grateful.
Right. Okay. Well, that's kind.
Just not as grateful as I am to people like Sean Jenks, who, become patrons. So thanks, Sean, for joining us. Thanks, everyone who's supporting us, getting the full version of the show every week, ad-free, listening live. You get extra message, put two out this week, not because I was being generous, but because I didn't have time to do one the week before. So got two. You can learn more about all the things we offer at patreon.com/UK Tech. And if you are one of them, you're about to hear the third discussion story of our week, that is this, which is all about HMV reopening stores in London for some reason. Well, we do our very best, even when we're on different continents, to keep you posted on what's happening in the British tech landscape. We also have a friend, Tom Merritt. He's a lovely friend. He's a nice man. And he's been telling us what you can listen to on DTNS if you want to learn more about what's been happening in the wider world of tech news this week. Here he is.
This week on Daily Tech News Show, we gathered three people older than 50 in Las Vegas, Nevada, to ask them what they think about an AARP study that gamers older than 50 are more valuable than the industry seems to think. There's also a study that found out exactly why social media is exhausting and why it makes you buy things you don't want. Nate came on to help us understand why we all keep being afraid of AI. Molly Wood joined us to give us a little hope with the future of more energy-efficient data centers. And David Spark gives us the scoop on the important security news out of RSA. All that and much more at DailyTechNewsShow.com.
He's not wrong. I was
on. What a week for DTNS.
Yep.
Vegas, and Molly Wood. It's like a trifecta of wins.
Well, I'm flattered to be a part of those wins. Yes, I also
did
This Week
you live,
in Tech.
So strongly did I feel about it.
Oh, well, I'm very grateful.
Just in case anyone didn't know how to find Twitch.
Very good. Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Ian. But mostly, thank you, listeners. If you enjoyed this episode, do leave us a review. We would love to get some more reviews going, because it is really, honestly, how we find new listeners. That, and when I go pimp myself out on other people's podcasts, that's very helpful too. And thank you to patrons.
Well, surely I'm doing the pimping. I'm pimping you out. You're the sex worker.
Yes,
because I don't the work myself. I just dispatch you to do it.
Yeah, I suppose that is true. Yeah, it's very little sex work involved in podcasting about technology news, I'll be honest with you.
It's very true. It is one of the most sexless industries.
Yeah, it really is. He says in a hotel room surrounded by a pillow fort, looking surprised that there are no women here. Well, never mind. That's probably a good point to end, isn't it? Thanks, patrons.
I reckon so, before you get the first divorce over Discord.
Well, just to clarify, I am here for professional work. Well, my pillow fort here is to do a podcast. I'm not here to indulge in New York City's underground sex market. It's just not why I'm here.
It's just not.
As Marta in our live chat says, I was not expecting this turn in narrative. No, Marta.
No.
Neither was I. And it's an absolutely perfect moment to end on. So I've pressed play on the outro music. Ian, you've got 6 seconds.
Well, we've done 308 of these now. That's a lot of podcasting.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.